Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. The battle for the future, the battle for the hearts and minds of mankind, is raging. And one of the epicenters where it's raging is in the United States of America, America. Every effort that is possible by the globalist elite, the international bankers, the three globalist corporations which control all of the mainstream media, every system, every corporation, the power elite, as they're sometimes called, are unified at this current moment in an all-out attack on our voting system, our ability to elect leaders, specifically the President of the United States. In other words, you and I, as American citizens, are supposed to have the right to elect our president, whoever that president is. And that right is not supposed to be determined by media conglomerates, foreign money, and other secret groups. It's supposed to be a fair election. Now, the Drudge Report, which was once the most powerful conservative news website, founded by Matt Drudge, used to be an excellent source of information. It has now, in the last 6 months or more, it has turned into a radical liberal attack website, which devotes its time to attacking and tearing down anything that could be construed as a conservative agenda, a Christian agenda, so on and so forth. So, on the cover of a Drudge Report today is a cover that Matt Drudge, the founder of the Drudge Report, would never have put up. But of course, he mysteriously sold his Drudge Report to some unknown entity, and they have he sold out. In my opinion, Matt Drudge sold out big time. He took his money and he ran, and he turned everything that he believed in is now attacked by his news media platform, the Drudge Report. So in giant, bold, red letters, first, above the red letters is a book by Bob Woodward. It's called Rage, with a big red R-A-G-E, and an ominous picture of Donald Trump. And the huge, massive headline of the Drudge Report reads, "Woodward's Turn Brutal. Woodward's Turn. Brutal Look Inside the White House Chaos. Claims COVID Cover-Up. Gives 60 Minutes Bombshell Interview." The tapes. 60 Minutes has no more credibility than a Russian government-controlled news media outlet. 60 Minutes has been the source of disinformation and lying since I've been a little boy. They sensationalize, but they have a bias, and they take their orders from their masters. And that's why this is an all-out attack on Trump. Now, if any of this was true, by the way, why on earth would 60 Minutes, Bob Woodward, why would they give this a full blitz attack on Trump? Why would this become known just now, within the relatively short distance of the presidential election? In other words, these huge things, the COVID cover-up, and everything else they're alleging, why is this just being discovered right before the election? It's because it's fictitious. It's propaganda. It's made up. And it didn't used to be that the Drudge Report would publish this, but now that Matt Drudge sold out his website magazine, it's turned into the opposite. Woodward, who's famous for the Watergate investigation regarding Nixon, Woodward has been an operative for, let's just say, certain agencies. It's well known, as including his writing partner. And so that's the huge headlines. You notice that President Trump, who has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for what he did in the Middle East regarding the nation of Israel, President Trump was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for actually doing something. And that's an enormous honor for any president. And yet, that's not the headline. It's lies and accusations. I don't even know if this cover of the Drudge Report even mentions the fact that Trump was nominated for a Nobel Prize. Perhaps they did, but if they have, it's in such tiny letters and so hidden that I can't, at this present moment, find it on the website. I could be wrong, but I don't see it, and it's an important news item. Can you imagine the placement on the Drudge Report if Biden had been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize? So as I look, I don't see any mention of the fact that President Trump was nominated for a Nobel Prize, a Nobel Peace Prize. And then there's huge articles about how all the motorcycle riders, mysteriously, some professor from the University of Nowhere announces that they did a study regarding this recent giant motorcycle rally where I guess 450,000 plus people came into town. And then they did this so-called scientific study, and they have announced that, you know, this is going to cause a major upswing in the coronavirus. Now, what is so completely dishonest about this is that when all the riots, which are continuing now, people are violating the social distancing and many other rules, all the people who attend these riots, these demonstrations, or whatever you want to call them, all over the United States of America, there hasn't been one major news article. And notice that this scientific report didn't do a study to see how the coronavirus would be spread from all these demonstrations and riots. No, of course not. They look the other way. You know, we live in the world of George Orwell. Some of you may not know who George Orwell is and was actually. George Orwell was a famous novelist in Great Britain, and he had access to the British intelligence service. He knew people like Aldous Huxley and others. And he wrote this novel called 1984, which came out, I believe that 1984 was written in the early 50s or late 40s. And it predicted a time, 1984, which has long passed. But in his novel, 1984, a major part of the world was controlled by totalitarian dictatorship and this dictator's regime. And this dictatorship was known as Big Brother. And Big Brother, and it was a warning against totalitarian dictatorships and the loss of freedom. Now, not everything that George Orwell predicted happened by 1984, but it is certainly now in our lifetime vastly surpassed even his most dire warnings of 1984, especially with the advent of artificial intelligence and mass surveillance. So Orwell envisioned this dystopian, nightmare, futuristic dictatorship where everybody was continually being spied on through electronic mass surveillance by Big Brother and the Thought Police. And one of the primary ways that Big Brother would spy on the average slave citizen is Big Brother would watch people through their television sets. In other words, in Big Brother, the main way that the dictatorship would spy on the people would be through the cameras that were built into every television set or in other places in their houses. And it was through the television set that Big Brother could spy, watch, and hear, and see everything. And the expression was, Big Brother is watching you. Now, I want you to think of something, and I think this will blow your mind. Maybe some of you have already thought about it, but I believe it'll blow your mind. Big Brother was a warning about a dictatorship that used scientific mind control. In his novel, 1984, they used scientific mind control, and they used all kinds of electronic mass surveillance to spy on the masses 24/7. And they had a brutal dictatorship, and they used mind brainwashing, highly sophisticated. So, for example, the people were so brainwashed in the novel 1984 that Big Brother pounded things like this into their heads, and they actually believed it. For example, the expression, freedom is slavery. They believed, I mean, they were so brainwashed, the masses literally believed that they, if they were to be free, they would become slaves. And therefore, they preferred to be slaves over being free because in their brainwashed minds, being a slave was really being free. I mean, you can understand the complete nonsense, but it was, that's what mind control could do to any mind. And there were other expressions like war is peace, freedom is slavery. No, it's not. Freedom is freedom and slavery is slavery. But when you want to make everybody your slaves, the best way to do it is to program the people to believe that if they're slaves, they're free individuals. And if they're so-called free individuals by their own definition, that they are actually slaves. And the book was a warning, and that book, the warning has been ignored. So now we live in a time where Big Brother spies on the global population and in America 24/7 with the collection of metadata and things like your cell phone, any electronic device. And they call it the Internet of Things. And a former CIA director coined this term, the Internet of Things, and basically said that everything in your house, your so-called smart house or smart apartment or whatever, will be hooked up to the Internet of Things. So, you know, your vacuum cleaner, your electric toothbrush. I'm not joking. I'm not being facetious. Anything electronic is part of the Internet of Things, air conditioner, whatever. And it can all be used for surveillance. It can be used to record data on you. And it can also be used to control you. In other words, instead of asking for your help, if there's an excessive need for power by the power companies, It simply, externally, the power company would just cut off millions of people's ability to, let's say, turn their air conditioning unit up to 78 degrees when it's, you know, like 100 degrees outside. They would prohibit that, and you couldn't do a thing about it. They can do that now for the most part. They just haven't told you that yet. Which reminds me, I remember writing about the fact that I believe that there were cameras built into television sets many years ago. And then I remember that a bunch of hackers, this was probably 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, a bunch of hackers broke into people's smart TVs, especially when the new, you know, giant screen flat screen TVs came out. And what the hackers demonstrated to the American people, because it wasn't just reported, television stations and video outlets and television networks actually aired the video footage and the sound and audio that the hackers were able to get spying on people. And you can imagine what they saw, the shock. There were videos of people in their living rooms, family rooms, bedrooms. Obviously, you know, any objectionable material was censored from the news reports. But the basic message was very clear that every person who has a flat screen TV is being watched by, if nothing less, it's being watched by artificial intelligence. And all kinds of information about you, you're communicating, your personal beliefs or whatever, especially if you talk in the room where a TV is on or off. And by the way, whether the TV is technically on or off is irrelevant, because these TVs are always on unless you unplug them. So people were horrified to discover that the first company that got busted was Samsung, but the other companies all joined in. And people were horrified, and they couldn't even believe it after numerous national news shows reported the story. People could not believe that they were being watched and spied on by their flat-screen TVs. But this was right out of George Orwell's novel 1984, which was written, I believe, in the late 40s or early 50s. And George Orwell, in 1984, described a futuristic dictatorship which would rule the people by spying on them through their TVs and listening to them through their TVs. Now, you know, this happened. It became publicly known 8 years ago, but it was going on before that, and it has increased. Now, let me give you an example. The day you got your cell phone, I remember when I got my first cell phone, you know, flip-flop model, cheap cell phone. But I remember even back then, the first time I turned on my inexpensive cell phone, I noticed that, you know, the TV screen slowly came on, and then a logo very slowly came on, and I could read the words, the big letters, Global Positioning Satellite, GPS. In other words, my cell phone was telling me and everybody else that you're now being hooked up to GPS, Global Positioning Satellite. Now, people didn't know what that meant, so they didn't think anything about it. They didn't know back then. The average person didn't even know that there could have been such thing as a global positioning satellite system or what GPS meant or what global positioning meant. You and I, everybody today basically knows that you have GPS on all your cell phones and laptops and everything else, your electronic wristwatch or whatever. And it is transmitting a signal 24/7, even when you think it's off. It's transmitting your location to a satellite. Yeah, that's right, to a satellite. And that shouldn't surprise anyone listening, because every time in your car, or your cell phone, or whatever computer system you're looking at, and every time you activate the GPS, the Global Positioning Satellite System, it maps will come up on your cell phone screen, computer screen, car screen, or whatever, and you'll see a little dot of where you are driving on a road or a freeway, and then you can zoom in or zoom out, and you can see where you are in relationship to the state, or you can zoom in on different nations or whatever. And the most dangerous thing of all is it's not just a one-way device where you get to look at streets and locations and everything else through your GPS system. It's a system where your wristwatch or your laptop or cell phone or whatever is transmitting where you are personally, and or whatever friends or people are with you, their cell phones are transmitting your location, monitoring how fast you're driving, what roads you're using to drive, when and where or if you've parked your car or stopped at a restaurant or whatever. It's all being tracked and recorded constantly. And besides that, you signed a contract. I signed a contract allowing them to do that. You say, well, I don't remember signing a contract. No, because these multinational corporations have contracts that are like 100 pages long. You probably were given the opportunity to sign it on the internet. But who's going to read a 150-page legal contract just trying to activate your cell phone? So it was a known fact when I first noticed that my first cell phone, when I first turned it on, had the words Global Positioning Satellite, GPS system. In its very name, GPS is telling you that whatever signal you're using is being beamed, all the data on your cell phone or laptop or whatever, it's being beamed directly to a satellite up there in the starry night sky or during daytime. You're transmitting all kinds of information about you, including your location, et cetera, 24/7. You're transmitting all that data to a satellite in outer space, which then interconnects to other satellites and other people's GPS systems. So what this means, from the perspective of mass surveillance, what this means is that you are under 24/7 mass surveillance no matter where you go. And you're transmitting this data to a satellite in outer space. Now, I used to try to tell this to people at conferences and through books and interviews. And, you know, people would become unglued and start shouting at me, Christians too, that I was making this stuff up. Man, I wasn't making this stuff up. I was just doing my homework while they were sleeping. Now most people know. They haven't really considered its ramifications. But most people have at least a basic understanding of GPS and mass surveillance. But let me just, you know, run a couple little bullet points by you that may surprise you when you consider the ramifications of this technology that you have on you. For example, both the laptop and specifically cell phone and the electronic wristwatches, not only do they have GPS and are in communication with a satellite in outer space, okay? Yeah, your electronic wristwatch, which you're so proud of. Congratulations. I mean, I bought some for people that I know because that's what they wanted. But the bottom line is, it's no different really in most respects to a GPS system in your cell phone, except when you put the GPS system in a cell phone or one of these, you know, electronic wristwatches, and your cell phone, because of how they're used. In other words, your cell phone, you're usually holding in your hand. You could have it in your pocket, but at one point or another, you're going to hold it in your hand. Some people use headphones, but that technology could be in both the headphone and the actual cell phone. Most people don't realize is that, let's say you wanted to know the blood pressure of somebody. Let's say you wanted to know what kind of emotions they were feeling. Were they angry? Were they peaceful? Were they depressed? Were they violent? Okay. When you place a cell phone to your head, even if you think you have the safety of the illusion of headphones, basically what you're doing is in terms of electronics, it's almost exactly the same as if you were to shave somebody's head and put, when they put wires into people's head with little circles because they want to measure brain activity, heart activity, etc. You've seen the pictures. People have a shaved head, and there's all these, external electrode-type things into the human skull. Well, when you're putting a cell phone and the receiver transmitter is literally put right flush to your skull, to your brain, because that's where your ear is. So whether your phone call is 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or an hour and a half, all kinds of electronic data about you can be recorded and captured. And by putting the cell phone or other electronic device, the electric watch, you can change people's blood pressure, brainwave state, etc., etc. And you can do it via satellite, and you can do it to billions of people simultaneously. Nobody ever bothers to think about the ramifications. If this technology and that technology and this technology exist, then you think about it for a few minutes and you figure out, yeah, it exists, but it's obvious that it is now capable of doing this, this, and the other. You know, you do the math. So what this means, right now, they are selling all kinds of apps that promise to change your brainwave activity to peaceful, to help you sleep, to energize you. But who knows what other secret brainwave activity these devices could hypothetically produce, like a violent state of consciousness. Yeah, it can all be done. And again, think of that in the early days of this technology, they would have to shave people's heads and put electrode-type devices to the external part of the skull. And that way, you would have an electronic or an electrical connection. It's like, you know, if you jump in a pool of water where somebody has a live electrical device plugged into an electric socket, that water you step in could electrocute you. It carries the electrical charge. Well, when you place a cell phone flush against your brain area, right above your ear, then you have connected an electrical signal, just like you made a wire between two things. And the same with the electric watch and laptop and many other devices. So not only do you have the power, but not only does Big Brother have the power to spy on what it can see and record, it can know if you're angry, you're happy, you're euphoric, you're peaceful, you're stressed, and it can create synthetically all of those emotions and states of consciousness. And it's all connected via artificial intelligence into a global hive mind or a global world brain where you can control simultaneously the state of consciousness if you wanted to, because the technology is basically already there. You could create at will a planetary global state of consciousness, either peace or anger or rage or just emptiness in the head, with the flick of a switch. You don't even need a switch. You could actually think the thought, and that would trigger a switch somewhere via artificial intelligence. And you would have a beast system, 666, as portrayed in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where you can't buy or sell unless you receive the microchip or biochip implant known as the mark of the beast, 666. Well, we're moving in that direction with this surveillance technology. You could cause artificial panic by changing people's brain waves from, let's say, a peaceful, happy state of alpha, and then going into, 150 Hz hertz of brainwave energy, which would cause hyper alertness, agitation, and all kinds of stuff. So most people aren't aware of all this, and you need to be aware of it. And people have difficulty using a common mental process that God has given us. Most people have been dumbed down in the educational system. And because they've been dumbed down or programmed in the educational system, they have been programmed not to be able to think analytically, not to understand history. They're not able to use logic or reason. They're not able to project events in the future via perception and education. There's all kinds of mental gifts that God blessed his creation, mankind, with that have been stolen from the minds of billions of children who are now adults too. And they're unable to perform what used to be considered relatively simple tasks in thinking, logic, and reason. So let me give you an example. Once you know that this technology exists, and most people, or a lot of people anyway, know that this technology exists to whatever degree, it's a simple process to conceptualize what else can be done. But in order to do that, you have to use the part of your brain that was targeted for destruction by the methodology of teaching in the educational system. Like, for example, Common Core curriculum essentially functions as a wrecking ball. Have you ever seen this video of an old wrecking ball, and it's on a giant crane, and they build a wrecking ball, flies and it smashes into some old 12-story building, and the bricks start flying as the wrecking ball hits it. So these electronic devices function as a wrecking ball for the human mind, and the school system functions as a wrecking ball for the human mind. Now, because it artificially removes some of the most important God-given abilities, and that is God wants his children, male and female, to think, envision, conceptualize, create, because he's a creator, use logic and reason, etc., have the ability to discern. So people can't conceptualize what is also in existence just from knowing some of the things we just talked about. You hear about Elon Musk, you know, super billionaire, the owner of Tesla Motors, you know, the Tesla cars. When you see those SpaceX rockets being fired up into the to the sky from Florida. You know, SpaceX is a venture primarily owned by Elon Musk, a super entrepreneur. And Elon Musk, he has a new project that he's been talking about quite openly, and that is neural implants. And a neural implant is just a fancy way of saying like a microchip implant or a biochip implant, but Musk, I guess for marketing reasons, calls it a neural implant. Now, I can't prove it, so it's hypothetical, but I suspect that Musk, being the kind of daredevil personality that he is, that he already has a neural implant in his mind to do certain basic things in the effort to enhance his intelligence. But whether he does or doesn't, the point is he's investing billions of dollars in a company that will sell and install neural implants or microchip implants into human brains for all kinds of beneficial reasons. Now, the problem with that is now you're tiptoeing into the zone of Bible prophecy depicted in Revelation 13, where the Antichrist sets up a one-world economic system where you can't buy or sell or get access to wills or anything unless you have accepted what will be called the mark of the beast or a microchip implant of some kind. Now, Elon Musk is not a Bible-believing Christian. It's doubtful that he believes in Bible prophecy. And I'm not saying that the neural implant is the mark of the beast, because two things, according to Revelation 13, are necessary in order for it to be the mark of the beast. One, the offer you're made by the Antichrist and false prophet is that you have to publicly renounce Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you have to publicly confess that you are going to worship the Antichrist as God. It's only after you do that that you will be able to receive Mark of the Beast 666. Now, obviously, Elon Musk's neural implant doesn't demand, at this point anyway, it doesn't demand that you reject Jesus Christ and pledge to worship the Antichrist as God. That's the defining factor which would identify something as the mark of the beast. But as biblical Christians, most of us are very uncomfortable with entertaining even the notion that no matter what you call this microchip implant or neural implant or whatever, or whether or not you actually have to renounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge to worship the Antichrist as God. I mean, let's say you work for national security or whatever. you find out that you have to, if you want to buy or sell or participate in the economic system, receive government relief checks or other things like that, you must receive this microchip implant. Okay. Now, nobody has told you you have to reject Jesus as Lord. Nobody's told you you have to worship the Antichrist as God. This is like basically an electronic security decision. And so at that point, one could make the case that it's not the mark of the beast. But what if there's a built-in component that can transition and instantly into the mark of the beast? And if that is not the mark of the beast, it's pretty darn close to being the exact mark of the beast. And you're tiptoeing ever so closer into the area because, you know, once you start any of these things, they roll very fast. The next thing you know, you will have to be rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and pledge to worship the Antichrist as God. Just about every Bible-believing Christian I know that knows Bible prophecy is extremely uncomfortable with taking any kind of device, no matter what the pretense is. Many people forgot, and I wasn't around, this was the case, but I believe that it was in 1917, I could be wrong, 1917, that the Social Security system was put in place. Interesting. If I'm right about the date, that's the exact same year of the Communist Revolution in Russia, 1970. So the key is that the federal government of the United States promised that it said you're going to have to take a Social Security card and know your Social Security number, and you're going to have to prove it by your Social Security card. And the official governmental excuse at the time was that this is necessary so we know how to identify you, get your address, etc., so we can send you your Social Security checks, all right? And we promise, they made a solemn promise to the American people that they would not use the Social Security identification number for any other purpose but for communication regarding you getting a Social Security check. And they solemnly swore that they would use it for nothing else. Well, that promise wasn't worth the piece of paper it was written on. Almost immediately after, they forced everybody to get a Social Security card, and you became a number, not a name. Which, by the way, that act in and of itself is a degrading, debasing, because what it does is subconsciously pounds into your mind that you, as an individual, are worth nothing, that you are nothing. You are nothing more than a random number. Your identity, your personality, the sacredness of your personhood is meaningless to us. We view you as a number. Okay. So after people got their Social Security number, and many Christians object, what happened next was that that number, people were lied to. Suddenly that number being required if you wanted to take out a loan, anything you do, if you wanted to buy a car, and up until this day, this, for any legal transaction, for any, you know, financial transaction, well, you know, there are some exceptions, insurance, whatever, you have to provide your Social Security number. So it was a complete lie that the Social Security number would be only used for your to get your Social Security check. It's a master number that replaces your name. It's the central focus of a tracking system. your number, because you see, obviously, many people probably have your name and my name, either in this country or other places in the world. So that would be tremendous confusion. But a number can be distinctly individual. And so that's what happened. But betrayal was, you are tracked by your social security number. It was a total violation of your constitutional rights. Now, you have to put up with it, but you're not supposed to be a number. You're supposed to be an individual. So that's how that went. And the lesson from history, if you know history, is that history repeats itself. So now all this talk from Elon Musk and the others about, you know, the fabric, your brain is going to be so super enhanced because you've taken the microchip implant or the neural implant or whatever. And that may be true, but they're not going to tell you the whole truth is that that chip also becomes a technological mechanism for total mind control. It can control your emotions, your mood, your brain, and it can track everything about you. It's a total, there is no other man-made device using technology or anything else that has ever been invented since the beginning of time that will be as all-encompassing and all-dominating and total controlling than this mark of the beast 666, this microchip implant. Remember, the Nazis had a lockdown, notice the word lockdown, a lockdown society when they had their Nazi dictatorship. But they had to use shoe boxes with little cards, the shape of the shoe boxes, and then every person would write their name, have their name written, their birth date, and legal particulars. And the Nazis were able to keep track of everyone using an old-fashioned system of like these white cards and shoe boxes. Now, later on, IBM came along and helped them keep track of the German people and prisoners in the concentration camp, kind of. IBM used the old cards that have the punch-outs. Many of you won't know what I'm talking about, but that was the main way that computers initially recorded mass amounts of data on people or whatever. They'd print out these kind of elongated cards with punch holes, and then you like write a pencil through the little tiny hole or punch the hole. And these cards were the first recording mechanism for computers to keep track of data and you know what happened there. Now, the point is that from an electronic basis, an economic basis, and a neurological basis, the mark of the beast technology, that'll be it. That's total slavery, total mind control. You're totally plugged into the world brain and the hive mind, and you lose all freedoms. Why? And everybody should be concerned about this. If Big Brother knows what you're thinking all day long, and let's say you think, I don't like Big Brother, that would be considered, quote, a thought crime, and you would be put to death. So if Big Brother has the ability to read your mind, when I say that, I don't know how far along they are in this particular technology, but they've already begun. This technology is already happening on, I believe, it's a primitive scale. It's most likely that they can already go a lot farther with what they claim. But using artificial intelligence and computer technology, you can read a person's mind. Not only can you measure and analyze heart rate, breathing, pulse, you know, all the data, biochemical composition in your brain, to check out your moods, brainwave state, stuff like that. Not only does all that exist, but they can take it further. They can actually now see visual images, like early photographs, of thoughts and pictures that people have in their heads, and the sounds. They can understand the words being spoken in your brain or your dreams or the pictures that are there. It's in an evolving state, but it won't be long with artificial intelligence that those pictures and the audio that naturally is happening in people's brains is now crystal clear. Remember that in other regimes like the Nazis, you could create a fake name. You could hide because people couldn't read into your mind. This is an all-invasive technology. And there are people in this world, this is what it's hard for people to come to terms with. There are people, human nature is such, the fallen human nature of man is such, that in mankind's lust to be God, which is a product of man's fallen human nature, man will do anything, no matter how monstrous that thing may be, to achieve their goals. I don't think it's an accident that God in his word used the term the beast, the mark of the beast, 666, and the first beast, who's the Antichrist, and the second beast, who is the false prophet, who's in charge of the one world economic system, mark of the beast, and the one world religion. And this is called, biblically, the beast system. Why is God calling it the beast system? Because it's hideous. It's an abomination, like the abomination of desolation that Jesus Christ talked about. Not only is the very existence of the Antichrist, who's really Lucifer, and his fallen angels, the demons, not only is it an abomination before a holy God for the Antichrist to sit in the throne of God, the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem, demand to be worshipped as God. This is called the abomination of desolation. Not only is that hideous before God, but it unleashes the entire demonic realm. So when you dominate the inside of a person's mind, you no longer, they're programming people to think like this in the school system. They're destroying the very God-given concept of an individual identity. They're erasing that in people and replacing it with, oh, you're not an individual. See, God says you're an individual, but the dictatorship says you're just a number. You're a meaningless number, and your individuality has to completely go. You need to merge with this hive mind or this world brain and can't have your own life. Your only purpose is to serve the state, you know, like a worker bee, and to follow the orders of Big Brother. That's where all of this takes us. And you say, well, who would want to take us there? That's a good question. Who would want to take us there? That's where you have to come face to face with the fact that we live in a world where all of us were born with fallen human natures. There exists a personal devil called Lucifer and his fallen angels. All this is real. But the key thing is that even though it's difficult for us to comprehend anything so dark and satanic, the reality is this is how Satan thinks. This is how Lucifer and his fallen angels think. And this is exactly how the people who have sworn to serve Lucifer with their lives, this is exactly how they think. That's why they don't even have a blip on radar screen of a tormented conscience over doing something that's evil and wrong and what they have planned to done, not done, do. So the key here is that vaccinations are being scientifically explored and experimented with, is to use vaccinations as a mechanism for delivering a vaccination-based microchip implant type program. And so you could, under pretense, lie to people and say you're just getting this vaccination. So people line up for this vaccination, let's say it's the coronavirus or whatever. And then it's discovered that there's secretly a microchip implant embedded in the vaccine. And then you've not only inoculated people with the vaccine, you have used the pretense of the coronavirus epidemic. Use that pretense as a way to give the entire world a microchip implant. And that's exactly what the Bible warns about in the last days, because this will mean that we have seen the coming of Antichrist. Now, I don't want to debate as to the timing of the rapture, but if you hold to a pre-tribulation a rapture point of view, then the church is not here when the Antichrist is revealed and this microchip implant is being given to people. Okay, in a post-tribulation or a pre-wrath rapture position or mid-tribulation position of the rapture, the Antichrist reveals himself 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period, and or with post-tribulation, Christ returns at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. So the point is that this becomes a mechanism to give people a mark of the beast and total control, etc., etc. The coronavirus. So I'm not saying a proposed vaccination is the mark of the beast. Nobody knows what the proposed vaccination is, how it's going to be delivered, etc., etc. But one must be very wary of what one allows into one's body, especially in light of the fact that it's very easy with modern science to sneak in some kind of biochip, nanochip implant via a vaccination delivery system. You know, God created us in his own image. He created us male and female. And God created us to be not gods, but to be majestic creatures. We are the sons and daughters of God. He didn't create us to be like cattle or meat or something that was killed and stamped with a number. That's a dehumanization of God's creation. So these things are, whether we like it or not, we are moving with lightning speed into the future. And how we conduct ourselves, what we do or what we fail not to do, whether or not we study the Word of God or choose to be ignorant of God's word, whether we fully understand the signs of the times or whether we don't, we're moving into that future. So I want to encourage you to spread this program far and wide. Remember, YouTube just, you know, down their distribution vice for people sending out mass YouTubes. That's all, that's everybody. See, that's a form of censorship. It makes it more difficult for us to reach you. And these challenges, the fact that it's election time, it's not an accident. These challenges are designed to bring down churches and Christian ministries and conservative organizations, anything that doesn't repeat the politically correct mantra. So your prayers during this time of intense spiritual warfare are absolutely necessary. And your willingness to send out on your own the videos and audios you hear, and finally to pray the Lord and ask God how you contribute financially or donate financially to keep this ministry on the offensive and aggressively communicating the truth in an effective manner so that we win souls to Jesus Christ. So we need you to partner with us and stand with us at this critical time. And you can find out about all the free resources we have, or the books we have, and videos and archives and Roku channels and other social media platforms by visiting paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. God bless you, and remember, Jesus is coming. Jesus is returning to planet Earth. It's not, you know, all doom and gloom. When Christ returns, he's going to defeat the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all those who accept the mark of the beast. And to use a term that is biblical, and to use a term that the church used to say without being embarrassed, that term is, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. Maranatha. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.